The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
We're actually going to be speaking to one of his senior ministers, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, in just under an hour's time, shortly after 5 o'clock. And we are going to speak to him about, amongst other things, the lack of access in our maternity hospitals to the partners of pregnant women. So on Friday, we spoke about this on the show. We spoke to a listener, John. John got in touch with us following our coverage of this issue. He had been listening to the show the previous day, last Thursday, sitting in his car in the car park outside the Coombe Hospital while texting his wife. She was inside the hospital suffering a miscarriage. John wasn't allowed into the hospital with her. Take a listen to what he had to say.
We raced this to the Coombe and we went in, explained what was going on, and they told me, right, they told us there at the emergency door, you've got to go in there, and he pointed at me and said, you have to leave. So I said, look, no. I said, I actually had a screenshot on my phone of an article that was in the media on May the 13th that said that the government had, or the HSE, sorry, had advised hospitals to change the rules.
Yeah.
So I pulled it out, I showed it to them. They kind of just looked at it blankly and didn't even really acknowledge it. Got me out of there. So I had to sit in the car and wait. And you're trying to console the person that you love when this is going on by text message. It's barbaric, you know. It was horrific. And it makes no sense. They said to us, yeah, you can come into the 12-week scan, the 20-week scan, the labour, you're there for that, no problem. But I can't be there for this sort of an emergency. It's ridiculous. And,
yeah.
You know, people can go into Pennies and buy flip-flops and beach towels, but I can't be there with my wife when she's losing a baby. It's nuts.
Yeah, that was John speaking to us here on the show on Friday. Again, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank John for sharing that story. And after he did, we were inundated with messages of support and sympathy for John and his wife and what they went through and are continuing to go through. And as well, people getting in touch to share their own stories, similar stories and similar experiences to John. One of those who got in touch with the show is on the line now. Jim, I understand you were listening on Friday to John, and unfortunately, you know all too well exactly what he was going through. Is that right?
Yeah, Kieran. Unfortunately, over the last 2.5 weeks, myself and my partner have been going through a very similar situation to John, where she's been suffering a miscarriage and attending appointments in the hospital. And I unfortunately haven't been able to attend any of those appointments with her and offer support. And like John, I'm sitting outside in the car communicating by text message, and it's just very difficult.
God, I'm sure it is. Can you bring us back then, Jim, to when all of this started? When you went from, I suppose, imagining a new child in the house to the worst news possible?
Yeah, it's, as I said, 2.5 weeks ago, kind of, Kieran, and Carol was almost 12 weeks at that stage and went to the toilet at home and unfortunately found a bit of spotting. She panicked, understandably, but it's not unusual for a woman to be spotting at that point in the pregnancy, so didn't think the worst immediately, but we attended the hospital that evening about 10:30. She had to go in through A&E. I was stopped. She had to go in on her own, so I had to return to the car and sat communicating by text message. She was panicking desperately, of course, at this stage, and full of worry and anxiety, and it's just very difficult. I had to sit outside in the car, and as I said, just you're helpless. There's nothing you can do. And about an hour later, she came out. She had stopped communicating by text, but given the hospital is set up and all, sometimes you wouldn't have coverage. So I didn't think that was too unusual. But then she came out and she just sat into the car, distraught, just broke down and said that there was no heartbeat.
So she went through all of that alone. From the moment she got into the ED department, she was taken off, scanned and discharged, sent back out to you in the car park, all alone.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And horrendous. And I don't blame Kieran, I don't blame the staff in the hospital. I haven't been in there obviously, but my partner tells me that, you know, that they're very nice to her, they're very understanding, they treat her very well when she's in there. But she's been in for 3 or 4 appointments since, because they sent her home and said that her body might start getting rid of it itself, and if not, you'd have to go in for the DNC.
DNC, just for people who don't know, and you have to be blunt about this, it's a procedure to essentially clear out the womb and the uterus after a miscarriage.
Correct, yeah. And that would be 3 days in hospital, and my partner didn't want to do that because she didn't want to spend 3 days in hospital and not be able to have visitors or anyone in to help her through that. So, unfortunately, last Tuesday evening, and I suppose naive, Kieran, we didn't know what to expect when they say your body will get rid of it itself. Like, I'm not that educated on the whole lot, but I expected a kind of a heavy period, maybe with a bit of clotting. But last Tuesday evening, she actually went into labour for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And well, like having a baby, she passed everything. It was quite large. And again, hugely distraught and hugely upsetting for both of us, but more so my partner. Like, and it's just horrendous. And as it turns out now, she still has to go in for a DNC anyway, because not everything has come away. So she's going to have to end up in hospital next week for a few days anyway.
So after all of that, after all of that, when she goes in for that DNC again, you won't be with her, will you?
No, won't be allowed inside the door. And there's no reason behind it. I mean, yeah, we have a COVID pandemic and all, but there's no reason, like, for the likes of the labour wards, why they can't just allow the partners in. I mean, you're going to be in a room with a nurse or a doctor with just your partner and yourself while they're doing their scans or talking. I mean, those things aren't done in a public ward.
No.
So there's no, I can't get my head around why they're doing it. And it's not all the hospitals are doing it, it's just the few three or four, which our local hospital is one of them.
And I know, Jim, like, it's your partner is the one, as you said, who's feeling this much more acutely than you. But at the same time, I still imagine it can't be easy for you sitting out in the car park, texting, wondering what news is going to come through.
No, sure. Like, on the first night where we went in, Kieran, like, we drove away from the hospital after sitting, and I was just consoling her for 10 minutes or so. And I had to pull in by the time I got out to the hospital grounds because I actually just broke down myself. And there's nothing, you're helpless. You feel helpless. There's nothing you can do to offer support, to hold her hand, just put a loving arm around her. And there's nothing. It's absolutely atrocious.
And does it seem strange to you, Jim, that, I mean, the big debate today and discussion is about, you know, whether the guards will crack down or not on these outdoor dining areas, whether public licenses extend to them. The other discussion point is when 20-something-year-olds will be vaccinated so that they can travel abroad. When will they be able to eat and drink indoors again? I mean, all of that stuff is important. Of course it is. But it must pale in significance to the type of stuff you're dealing with at the moment, and your wife.
Absolutely. I mean, COVID is COVID, and we all know what we have to do, and we all know what the country has been through. We've lost friends ourselves, unfortunately. We had a close friend who was in hospital for 2 weeks in a coma with COVID. But when you see all the protests on TV, and there's hundreds and thousands of people together with no masks on, and the youngsters, the 20-year-olds now partying, and the colleges, students partying, and there's nothing done about it. Pubs that have large outdoors areas, and they're all there drinking, smoking, nothing done about that. And they won't allow one person into a room with their partner who's going through one of the most horrific, upsetting periods of their life, and they're not allowing one person to accompany them into the room. Sure, it makes no sense.
How is your partner today, Jim?
I say she's okay. In the Irish term, I'm fine, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, she's struggling to deal with the emotional side of things and losing a baby like that, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. We've been through worse.
And how are you?
Same. It's hugely upsetting. I've never been through it before. I have other kids, older kids. I've never experienced anything like this, and my heart goes out to people that have been through it, because it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And as I said, with what happened last Tuesday night, like, we just weren't expecting that. Just didn't know what to expect. And what we saw and had to deal with at home, I don't think I'll ever get over.
No. Well, listen, Jim, we appreciate you getting in touch.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks very much.